This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The second beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Here is Captain Frank Drakely, the retired chief of police of Hanover City.
I said last week I was going to tell you a story about the meek Father Morgan, our pastor here, and my proud son George. George is a nice boy. I like him. I think I'd like him even if he weren't my own son. He has a lot of attractive qualities. The only trouble about George was around about the time he went to college, then to law school.
My father? What does my father do?
Oh, he's superintendent of police of Hanover City.
George, you see, used to talk like that at law school. My title was chief of police. But when he was away at college and law school, George always described me as superintendent of police. I suppose he felt that made both Hanover City and me sound bigger than we really were. Yes, George was a nice boy. He even admired his own father in a broad-minded sort of way. It made me feel queer at times to be admired in just that way by my own son. But I really didn't mind. Youth has to have its fling, and George's particular fling could have been worse than it was. It could have been drink. It could have been gambling. It could have been bad company, giddy girls. But the few girls George ever associated with were, well, young intellectuals. Young people like himself, terribly keen on books, and also terribly keen on wanting you to know that they were keen on books.
As far as I can see, there are lots of girls who are pretty. What of it? Girls don't interest me very much anyhow. The only ones I give any of my time to are the brainy ones. Not that there are too many of those. Talk about books or music or politics or law to the average girl, she thinks you don't have any life in you. Well, I don't care what they think. I have intellectual life in me, and I'm satisfied with it.
Well, that was George in his college and law school days. Although, like so many of those fellows in that university club, he had a certain amount of shrewdness. He knew that if he wanted to get ahead as a lawyer in Hanover City, he had to make an impression on men. And so he used to hang around the Lions Club in Rotary. And one time, when he was home from law school on a visit, he even made a speech at Rotary.
Gentlemen, you know, and I know, that for success in business life and success in personal life, a man has to have a background of years. He has to have seasoning. I do not have that background. I do not have that seasoning, as you gentlemen have. All I am here for today, at your generous invitation, is to convey to you, with what I hope is in all due modesty, the hopes, the ambitions, the plans of Hanover City's younger generation, the Rotarians of the future.
Yes, George made a pretty speech that day, and he made an impression. And he knew he made an impression. But he didn't know that his father arranged for him to give that speech. But no matter. Boy did a good job and, well, I was rather pleased with him. Then he graduated from law school, passed his state bar examinations, and came home to settle down. And one of the first things he did was to call on our pastor, Father Morgan.
Yes, Father, I'm glad to be back in Hanover City.
Well, now, a Catholic college education and the State University Law School, that's a good education, George.
Father, I'm not forgetting my days here either, in the parish grammar school and high school.
It's nice of you to say so, George.
Oh, I don't take any personal credit for it, Father. It's just, I suppose, because I have a good father and a good mother.
My dear boy, you have indeed a wonderful father, a wonderful mother.
Thanks, Father. Well, it's been good seeing you again.
It's good of you to drop in. Do it as often as you can, huh?
Well, I don't know if that'll be often, Father. I expect to be pretty busy now. I've been taken on at Mr. Roper's office, you know.
That's fine. The best law office in the county.
Well, it's really the best in the whole southern part of the state.
Yes, I suppose it is. Oh, that's fine, George. That's fine. The best of luck to you.
Thank you, Father.
George.
Yes?
I know you intend to go to Mass and the sacraments regularly, but I wonder about the Holy Name Society. I do wish you'd take an interest in that, George.
Well, I'll think it over, Father. I'll think it over.
Good boy. Good boy.
That evening, alone in his room, surrounded by his books and trophies of college and law school days, George is looking at the different pictures of himself in his college and law school yearbooks. And while he's looking at these pictures of himself, he's thinking, the Holy Name Society. Oh, I don't know. Mass on Sundays and holy days, that's different. I believe in my religion. I intend to do my duty by it. But parish activity...
doesn't appeal to you?
Oh, Father, people can get their entertainment at the movies or on television or radio.
But at our entertainments here, George, we don't just sit back. We all take part in them.
I know, Father, but... well, I'd like to see our entertainments just a little more intellectual.
I see, George. I appreciate your interest. I'll think it over.
Driving home that night in the family car.
Well, how did you make out with Father Morgan?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Oh, he was polite, as usual. But, Dad, I'm not sure that he even knew what I was talking about.
What in heaven's name do you mean by that?
Dad, when I talked about Father Walter Farrell's set of four books, well, it's famous, A Companion to the Summa, it's called, Father Morgan simply looked blank. None of that for me, Dad. That isn't what you paid good money for when you educated me.
Hey, what happened? I didn't see that fellow pull over there.
Well, George, let's get out and see what's what.
Yeah.
I think he's more damaged than we are. His whole trunk rack is smashed in. Well, this is nice. Me, a former chief of police, and smashing another fellow's car.
Gosh, Dad, I'm sorry.
Well, let's go over and see if we can soothe the man's feelings.
The next morning, Captain Drakely calls Father Morgan on the telephone.
Father, I'd like you to do two things for me when you have the chance.
Yes, Frank?
First, next time my son George calls on you, don't talk with him in the reception room downstairs, but invite him up to your own sitting room. Will you please?
Why, I'll be glad to, Frank.
Don't ask me why just now. I think I hear him coming downstairs. I'll tell you when I see you.
Anything you say, Frank.
And another thing, Father. If you have the chance, tell him something about Fred Mueller, will you?
Yes. Yes, I will.
Thanks a lot for everything.
A couple of weeks pass, and George hasn't yet called on Father Morgan. Outside church after Mass one Sunday, George meets Fred Mueller and Fred's sister, Agnes.
Good morning, Fred.
Hello, George. George, I'd like you to meet my sister, Agnes.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Miss Mueller. Yes, we went to high school together, didn't we?
I think you graduated when I was... Yes, when I was a sophomore.
Yes, I thought I remembered you.
Excuse me, just a minute. Father Sweeney there wants to see me.
I'll wait for you, Fred.
Fred's a Johnny on the spot, isn't he?
He's always up to something, isn't he? I think this time the ladies of the Sodality are after him. They want him to supervise the games at their party.
Oh? What party is that?
Their annual card party. You're coming, aren't you?
Well, I have... I'm afraid I haven't thought about it.
Oh, you'll be there. Your mother and father always come.
Oh, it was hopeless. Here was a pretty girl, a really pretty girl. And all she could talk about was parish affairs. They were all she was interested in. One look at her and a man had hopes. One minute of talk with her and his hopes were dashed. Talk about books with a girl like that. Talk about the visit to Hanover City next week of the Philharmonic Orchestra from the state capital. Talk about the university club and the country club. It was hopeless. Girls like that were sunk. Submerged, frustrated in the petty details of the parish party.
Did I see you talking outside church with Agnes Mueller?
Yes, Dad.
Good-looking girl. And as good as she's good-looking. Have another cup of coffee.
Thanks, I think I will.
I don't make it so badly, do I?
You make it very well, Dad.
Oh, it's better than Mother's.
Where is Mother?
After Mass, she and the committee were having a meeting in the rectory.
The card party committee, I suppose.
She's always involved in it.
Mother and Fred Mueller and all the other ladies.
Fred Mueller and all the other ladies?
The way Fred hops whenever they ask him to do anything reminds me of a sweet old maid who is so anxious to please.
George,
yes?
If your boss, Dick Roper, asks you to work with him on the community chess drive, you do it. You do it out of fear just in order to make sure of your job. If Fred Mueller hops when they ask him to do some simple little thing around the parish, he does it voluntarily, cheerfully. And he wouldn't lose a thing if he said no.
Oh, I'll answer, Dad. Hello? Oh, yes, yes, Father. Yes? Why, of course. Tonight at 7:30? All right. Thank you for calling, Father. Father Morgan. He'd like to see me tonight at 7:30. Wants to talk over that discussion club idea I suggested to him.
That night, around 10 o'clock, George comes home.
Well, Dad, it was quite an experience. Quite an experience.
Is that so?
First of all, after I got there, I was ushered upstairs into Father Morgan's personal sitting room.
What are you whistling about?
You know what, Dad? That room had at least 3,000 books in it.
I know. I've been up there.
I remarked on them to Father Morgan, and we talked about them for a while, and well, I could tell he had read all of them. Say, you know that set of books I talked about, A Companion to the Summa? Well, he's read that twice. All 4 volumes.
George, Father Morgan's a great reader. And here's something else. For a man his age, he's also a wonderful handball player.
Really?
Oh, beats me all the time.
You know, Dad, I talk too much. Me with my 300 books and Father Morgan with 3,000.
What did he have to say about your discussion club idea?
Well, he likes the idea of an occasional serious discussion, but not as a steady diet.
Hello, Father Morgan speaking. Oh, yes, Frank.
Goodness. You and Fred are interesting people.
As for you, Mr. Drakely, you've been wonderful with the booklet. Well, it's all finished. Look, why don't you go up with Fred? I'll finish the sandwiches and coffee and bring them up.
George, I want to thank you for helping with the program booklet. It's a beautiful piece of work.
Thank Agnes and Fred Mueller, Father. It was their brainchild.
Brains is the word for the Muellers, isn't it?
Yes. But what impresses me about them is that they're so modest about themselves.
Blessed are the meek, George. People like the Muellers don't brag about themselves, and they don't complain about their troubles.
Troubles? Oh. You mean Fred's health?
Yes. And a couple of other things. Agnes and Fred have been orphaned since their early teens. And Agnes, well, during the war, she was engaged to a fine young officer in the army. He was killed in Normandy the day after D-Day. Yes, the young Muellers are real people, George. But you don't hear them saying so. They take life as it comes, face it as best they can. They don't boast. They don't complain. And they're beginning to receive their reward already. They're beginning to possess the land. They're loved, the Muellers are. Loved.
Love, Father?
Yes, George. They're loved by everyone.
Loved. Say, that's given me an idea. Yeah, the best idea I've ever had in my life. Agnes. Agnes Mueller. Agnes Mueller Drakely.